Captain Bernard Lolosoli looked down at the American journalist. You were right. Tom Clay, sitting with his back against the tire of a Land Rover, looked up from his notebook. Clay wore a faded safari shirt, brown field pants, and hiking boots. A droplet of sweat rolled off his chin and struck the page at the exact spot where he'd just finished a line, destroying the word and his thought along with it. It happens, he replied. Are you ready? Bernard asked. Clay closed his notebook and dropped it into his shirt pocket. All packed. Good. The ranger extended his hand. Clay took it and got to his feet. Three men entered our east gate 2 days ago. We located their vehicle this morning. Their plates are stolen and there is no exit record. Their passports were fakes.
Passports, Clay said. Not locals, then.
Ugandans. On holiday, they said. Clay caught a flicker of movement out of the corner of his eye. A small male dog emerged from behind the Green Guardian's field station, carrying a feathered chicken wing in its mouth. The dog was scarred head to tail, with that compact build common to developing world canines.
You get many of those? He asked.
Bernard followed Clay's gaze. Dogs or chickens?
Ugandans.
We do. It was rail workers. Now it's tourists. Bernard smiled. Thanks to your article, everyone wants to see our famous elephant. Clay watched the dog. Every few steps it glanced over its shoulder toward the guardhouse, checking to see if anything was following it. The dog set the chicken wing down in the dirt. It looked back again, expectant. There wasn't much to see. The concrete field station and next to it, the Guardian's makeshift field armory, a steel shipping container under a thatched roof. Between the two structures, the dirt was stained black with motor oil. The little dog yipped, and Clay heard agitated scrabbling on hard ground as a large dog emerged at speed from behind the building and rocketed toward the mutt. The bigger dog was a Belgian Malinois, a shepherd breed with relentless drive, making it a favorite among law enforcement. As the Malinois bore down, the smaller dog snatched up its chicken wing and sprinted across the clearing. It hopped onto an overturned bucket and into the crotch of a large acacia tree. The Malinois didn't need the bucket. It leapt straight into the tree and chased the smaller dog up a thick branch into the tree's umbrella. The little dog barked as it climbed. Suddenly, a third dog, a female as small and scarred as the first but heavy from nursing, emerged from behind the field station, carrying a whole chicken minus a wing. The female crossed the open space, dragging the dead bird between her forelegs, and disappeared into the bush. A moment later, her mate leapt from the acacia tree onto the field station roof. The Malinois tried to follow, but it was too heavy and crashed to the ground instead. The big dog was about to climb the tree again when Bernard whistled. The dog froze.
Fui, Bernard said and pointed. Platz.
The Malinois slunk obediently to the outpost's front door and lay down. Clay looked up at the dog on the roof. The skinny male lay with its back legs spread on either side of the roof peak, looking down at Clay, chewing its wing.
What do you think? Clay asked. You think it's lost tourists or something else?
Bernard sighed.
We paid $100,000 for that animal, he said, looking at the shepherd. Our donors insisted we have military dogs. I flew to Berlin to buy him. I had to learn German to speak to him. He has a better education than most of my family, and he still falls for that old dog and chicken routine.
Bernard nodded at two vehicles speeding in their direction.
It doesn't bloody matter what I think, Tom.
Clay squinted. Two black SUVs were racing toward them from the south, kicking up clouds of dust.
I'm going to say it again. If Bota is running this operation, you do not want a political ride-along anywhere near it.
I know it, and you know it. He knows to stay in the truck, Bernard said.
So why is he coming?
Someone might have told him you want his photograph for your famous magazine.
Clay groaned. I should have brought a camera then.
That would have been nice.
Two of Bernard's rangers waited nearby. The Green Guardians were a privately funded counter-poaching force made up of Samburu warriors. Bernard's men looked the part.
In addition to their desert fatigues and tan boots, they wore their hair in long, ochre-dyed braids, pulled back severely from their scalps, adorned with feathers and narrow, brightly beaded headbands.